Just a few simple words, okay? Just to let you guys know where we're at, where we're going, you know, all these things. Just like a camel, right, that has cisterns in their body that allow it to go long distances without water, God has actually created our bodies in a very similar way. We actually have cisterns inside of us, and we can actually go a very prolonged period of time without any food. The Lord has just equipped us in that way. In fact, a normal, healthy body, now this is a normal, healthy body. Some of you guys are abnormal and you're unhealthy, right? I mean, let's just be honest, okay? So I'm talking about a normal, healthy body can exist for several weeks without being injured or incapacitated by lack of food, right? I mean, this is not the pastor. This is medical evidence, right? Documented evidence, right? During a prolonged fast, the body is living on surplus fat, right? I mean, that's what you're basically living on. And at the same time, it's acting like an internal incinerator, burning up the waste and decaying tissues in the body. You'll find, as if many of you guys are doing a liquid fast, you'll find it probably about next week, right? About at the end of next week, your skin will look the best it's ever looked before. Guaranteed. Right? Why? Because all those toxins that are in your body is actually burning those things up. You know, and so it comes out in our skin, it comes out in our hair, you know, it comes out in kind of what you see on the outside. And this is just one of those manifestations, right? And it's only when the refining process is complete, right, does the body commence to consume its sound living cells. And so if some of you guys are worried, oh, it's going to eat up my muscle or it's going to eat up my liver or, you know, these kind of things, don't be ridiculous. Right, it's not going to do any of those things, right? I mean, you'd have to go on a majorly long, prolonged fast or a water-only fast for a long period of time for your body to actually start hitting your internal organs, right? So you guys don't need to worry about that. Just trust me on this, right? And when you're in a prolonged fast, there are actually three stages, right? And the duration of each of these stages kind of differs from person to person, okay? But these are basically the phases. Phase one, and we're on day six already, so you already went through this, right? And so you can say hallelujah to this. But phase one is where you start craving for food, right? This may last for a couple of days or longer, you know, not more than 3 or 4 days, unless, again, you're unhealthy and abnormal, okay? once it passes, right, there may be a pleasurable sensation at the thought of food, but there is no craving or strong temptation. You guys know what I mean, right? It's like the, you know, you think about food and you're like, you know, I saw some of your face when I mentioned donuts, right? All of a sudden, people's eyes lit up and then the sadness came, right? And so you know, it's just a thought, right? It's not necessarily what we call a craving, okay? And that passes, and that usually a few days. I'm sure you've gone through that already. Phase two, and probably most of us have just finished this phase or you're still in the midst of this phase, and this is marked by a feeling of weakness and faintness, and this may last for about 2 or 3 days or much even longer, right? And I think many of us have experienced this too, right, where you feel a little bit faint. You know, you feel a little bit weak. You know, the guys, you know, myself, Nate, Pastor Sam, Pastor Nate, and Aaron and Ken, and we actually been moving furniture this week. And, you know, there were times that we actually had to stop, you know, and just kind of slow down because, you know, we're feeling a little bit faint, and, you know, which is quite normal. And so, you know, I don't recommend, you know, you going to do a triathlon during this time or, you know what I mean, or anything like that and things. But this is what happens. This is probably, physically, it's probably the most difficult period of the fast. And it may require much rest. Phase one is probably the most difficult mentally, right? But phase two is probably the most difficult physically, your actual body in this place, because you will feel weak. And what's happening with the weakness and faintness is actually a good thing. You know, it's like when a pregnant woman is actually nauseous, it's actually a good thing, right? Because it means the baby's healthy. When you are feeling faint or weak, it's actually a good thing because what it means, your body is actually eating up all those waste. You know, all that gunk that's in your small and large intestines has been there for years. The body is actually eating that stuff up right now. And so your body is feeling a little bit faint, right? It's getting rid of the grosser waste and all the poisons that in your body, your body is literally burning those things up, burning all those bad things up. And so that's why you're feeling a little weak and faint. But that passes in time as well. And then you go into phase three, and this is where everyone's looking forward to. This is growing strength with little or no interest in food, and only occasional and decreasing spasms of weakness. Right, and some of you guys are probably at this stage already. You know, it's day six, and so you're probably at the end of phase two. You know, jumping into phase three. You know, or moving along that way. And so this is the good stuff, right? This is where you don't really think about food that much. You know, and yes, it is possible, right? And that you know kind of enter in, and you actually have some stamina and some strength. And I also say this, you know, do a little bit of exercise. When you're fasting, okay? You know, don't go out and lift weights like you normally do, but a little bit of light exercise is actually good for you, okay? It will help you and your body, right? And so, very, very light jogging, short distances, just to keep your muscles kind of contracted and, you know what I mean? I basically do like 20 push-ups every day. That's it. Right, and just so you know, I don't lose all my definition and my girth, you know, my huge body. Right? It's not that funny, all right? And so just you know, just keep that in mind. What you'll know is you'll enter into phase four. In fact, you will not enter into phase four, especially if you're doing a 21-day fast. To a normal, right, healthy person. The end of phase three is signaled by hunger pangs. And this is when you get like really, really hungry, you know, and this normally happens for a healthy, normal person beginning from about day 21 and sometimes after day 40, right? And so, you know, even if you're doing a 40-day fast, I would probably think if you are normal and healthy, I keep stating those two things, right? Then you probably won't even enter into the hunger pangs until after the 40 days, right? Which is kind of good news, okay? And so just keep that in mind. I share with some of you guys in the morning that, you know, don't take excessively hot, long showers because it will literally sap all your energy for that day, right? And so, you know, hot but kind of warm, you know, showers, you know, get yourself clean, get out of there as fast as you can, you know, and those kind of things. Make sure you drink a lot of liquids during this time. You know, and just kind of prepare yourself, and just you know, allow the Lord to minister to you during this time. Okay, does that sound good? All right, it's just real simple things. You know, and this is the question that you should ask yourself: why would God ask us to do something regularly if it was going to be harmful to our bodies? Right. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? I mean, why would a loving, gracious, incredibly intelligent God ask us? Right, to do something regularly to ourselves if it was harmful to our bodies? Of course not, right? God has created our bodies in such a way, right, that fasting works. You know what I mean? You know, this is not something that's abnormal. This actually should be a part of normative Christianity, you know, what I shared about last week and a few weeks before that in the messages on fasting. And so, you know, you have to remember that. And also remember this. There is a marked difference between a desire and appetite for food and a hunger for food, right? There is a marked difference between a desire and appetite for food and a hunger for food. You may have an appetite, desire for it. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're hungry for it, right? You know, and hopefully, this can get really fun, right? Now, check this out. You can be walking down the street, you know, and just kind of chilling around, and all of a sudden, you'll smell something. You know, your body works in such a way, you can actually get full from the smell, for reals, right? You know, you can actually just walk around and, you know, and you're really, this is when you're really entering a good time in your fast. You can actually smell, oh, I'm full, man. That was good, right? I mean, it could really happen, and that's kind of a really fun time when you get to those stages and things, you know, and fasting, right, changes the world, right? There's a book out there. I forgot the author, he's a British author, very famous, and he wrote Fasting and Prayer Changes the World, right? And you should read the stories in there. I always share this story every year, but one of my favorite stories on fasting is a congressman named Tony Hall. Tony Hall was a representative from Ohio, and he is a Christian, right? He's a follower of Jesus, and he's also a Democrat. You know, and what he decided to do one day, and he—I don't mean anything by that, right? So don't put anything political on that. He just to say there's a wide range, right? And so he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, God began to talk to him about children that were starving in the Appalachian Mountains and in the United States, people that were going hungry. You know, and he began to really pray and really think about, well, what can I do about this? And then as he was praying one day, God asked him, you know, why don't you fast? You know, and the dialogue kind of went, you know, Tony, you've never been hungry a single day in your life. Would you like to experience hunger? You know, and he basically said, why don't you fast? And this is something totally new to Tony Hall. He didn't know what to do. He's, you know, and so he actually got together with his accountability brothers, you know, and he began to share with them. He says, you know, I really feel like God's asking me to fast. I feel like God's really leading me in this. And he's asked them, what should I do? Should I really do it? You know, and so he's praying with his guys, and he's talking to his wife, and every one of them says, Tony, you should do it. You should definitely do this thing. And so he decided to go on a fast. He didn't really know how long he was going to go, but he decided to fast. You know, and then word got out, you know, reporters and news and everyone else that Congressman Tony Hall was fasting. And so, you know, the reports, there was actually so many people were so intrigued by what he was doing that they said that there were no seats left in his office. Reporters from all over the world actually sit on the floor and then ask him, you know, Congressman, why are you fasting? And Tony Hall would say, because I'm a follower of Jesus. And Jesus, you know, has been speaking to me about the people, the hungry children that are living in the United States. And you know, and I've never, you know, been hungry. And I want to experience that hunger so I can help. You know, and so he started this fast. And you know, at first, you know, like his aides and things, and they thought that, you know, people were going to think, oh, man, Tony Hall went off the edge. This guy's weird. You know, he turned one of those crazy Christian guys, you know, and he's far out there. And things, but lo and behold, what happened was the media loved it. They were intrigued by this. What? This African American congressman, right, is gonna fast, right? And for the hungry people, you know, in this country. And news started spreading everywhere. In fact, if you go and Google it, right, the story will come up. And then all of a sudden, it got the attention of the World Bank, right, and the World Food Bank. You know, and they come together, and in the United States, they came together, and they says, you know what, Tony, we are concerned about the hunger as well, you know, and what we want to do, and basically what happened is these guys started a whole fund, you know, the World Bank contributed about $100 million, you know, to fight hunger, right, not only in the United States, but all over the world. They actually took that money, they invested it in Bangladesh, you know, into this, some of you guys are probably bankers, probably know it better than I, the Grameel Fund or something like that. They invested in that fund, and it's been growing like crazy, you know, and thus the World Food Bank, you know. I mean, it was kind of already there, but now the impetus, because all the news came out. All of a sudden, people from, you know, college campuses, kids, you know, letters are streaming in from all over the country saying, you know, I heard your story, you know, and I was moved, and I'm joining you in your fast, Congressman Tony Hall. And so, yeah, college students from all over the country, Christian colleges, secular colleges, joining this fast to end hunger. Incredible. How? Why? Because a man decided to trouble himself. Right? A man said, you know what, there's something going on here. I'm going to trouble myself for a season. You know, yeah, you know, I'm going to be a little bit hungry. That's okay, because there's nothing compared to these other people that are going through different things. I'm going to trouble myself. You know, I'm going to put myself in a position to sacrifice, right, to see God do something incredibly. That fund is still going and is still, you know, creating monies, right, for programs all over the world. Because one guy decided to trouble himself. You know, I mean, that's a fantastic story. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. You know, people coming together and things. But how about things that are happening in your life? You know, are there things that are just not right? You know, is there something going on in your life, or your family's life, or your friends that could use a little fixing, that could use a little bit of God's touch in there? What do I say? Trouble yourself. Trouble yourself. Let's just sacrifice a little bit. It's not a huge sacrifice, a little bit, to see and give God an opportunity to work in our life. right? To say, God, I'm really serious about this thing. God, I want to break this thing off. You know, Jesus is walking around. He says, this one, this kind, only comes out by prayer and fasting. Right? He was talking about the demonic realm. But there are things in this life that only come out through prayer and fasting. So let's trouble ourselves. You know, let's trouble ourselves to wake up a little bit earlier, come together as a church and pray. Seek God's face. You know, to see God do something here in Hong Kong through our lives, through the life of our church, through our family, you know. Let's trouble ourselves in that way. You know, let's make it a little bit uncomfortable. You know, like we've been talking, right? We want everything to be so comfortable. Let's make ourselves a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe God will do something incredible. You know, and I don't share that story off chance, you know. I've been really praying. I really feel like you guys are going to save a lot of money these next 21 days, 36 days, 40 days, or whatever you're doing, right? I mean, just imagine all the food that you're not spending money on. You know, and then the entertainment on top of that, because you don't want to go hang out with anyone because you're going to be hungry, you know what I mean, and stuff. And so you're saving all this money. What I would like to do at the end of our fast, I would like you to really pray, and the money that you're saving, you know, I'd like you to come to the Lord as an offering, you know, and we're going to take this money, and it's not going to go into our fund for anything. We're just going to give it to the poor. That's all we're going to do, right? And you know, we're going to choose a couple of different avenues. Here in Hong Kong, it's not going to go anywhere else. We want to bless the people here in Hong Kong. And so as you're saving money, you know, and, you know, you guys go out to lunch, $1,000 here, dinner, $1,000 there. You know, maybe some of you guys, okay, $10 here, you know. Yeah, that's all right. Mike's not here, so right. So, you know, so you know what I mean? And so, you know, just let's say, God, this is my sacrifice, the altar, right? I'm just gonna give it to the poor, right? And so, you know, why don't you do that, right? Maybe get a box in your room or something, or a jar, and just start putting money in there, you know, that you would have used on food that week, or, you know, you would have used on entertainment. Now, you don't have to do it. I don't, you know, God loves a cheerful giver, right? Don't give by compulsion, right? You know, God loves a cheerful giver. And so if there's a witness in your spirit, right, then go ahead and we'll take just a one-time offering, you know, at the end of this whole thing, and just, you know, whatever you save money on food or these things, let's just give that to the poor. And if you want to give more, that's great too, right? You know, above and beyond. And then we'll put our finances together, and we'll just bless some people that are needy, and we'll bless some people that in Hong Kong that are hungry, you know. And so we'll say, God, we want to be a blessing through this thing. And so does that sound like a good plan? Amen. Amen. Good. All right. So let's just do that, and so I'll let you know. By the way, there's a little bit of confusion about how long we're fasting. And some of you guys looked on the bulletin, it said 21, 36, 40 with a big question mark. You know, and so our church, we are doing a 21-day fast as a church, right? And like I said, it's not to pressure or anything, but if you belong to Solomon's Porch, right, then I expect that you do some type. It doesn't mean you have to, it's not food. You can do all sorts of different things, right? And so we expect you to fast during this time. There's some of us that are extending a little bit longer. And what God has spoken to me personally, you know, and then I invited people to join me in that, is to tithe this year. You know, and so there's 365 days this year. And so I decided, you know what, God, I think God's asking me to do a 36-day fast, right? Just a tithe, right? The first 10%, right, of you know, my time, you know, and food and these things. So I'm tithing that, and some people are joining us. Some people have opted to do the 40-day fast even before any of these things happened. They felt God speak to them about doing a 40-day fast. And so some people are doing that, okay? And so do whatever you want to do, right? You know, in any way that you feel like God asking you to do, you know, but we will be meeting in the morning through the duration of that whole time, right? And so, you know, and maybe some of you guys are like, okay, I'll do 21 days, and then after 21, up to 36 or you know, right, 36 or so, I'll just have vegetables, or I'll just have creamy soup, or, you know what I mean? And you can just adjust along the way, you know, as we go along the way. Does that make sense? Right? And so that's totally okay. And so just let this be, even though we're doing this corporately, let this be an individual decision, right, that you walk in with God, okay? But come out in the morning, right? That's the really the blessing is the morning time, okay? And so as we come together as a church. Now, one of the things that fasting, we talked about benefits and all these things. One of the things that fasting does, and every single one of you will benefit immediately from this if you're doing this, is that in some way, the limitations that are in your mind get broken off, The Second Corinthians, it's interesting that May actually chose this verse today for during the prayer time. You know, and it says that there's things, right? Lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. And so Paul says, so we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, and he says we punish ourselves and on. But see, that sometimes there's limitations that we have in our mind, right? There's these lofty things that have been raised up that you begin to run in the realm of the impossibility. You say, that's impossible, man. That's impossible. And you only begin to do what's possible, right? But then if you do that, the world will never see God, and you'll never really we walk in the blessings of the Lord. If you only do what you can do, then where's room for God in this? You know, but when we fast, something happens spiritually in our spirit and our soul, and all of a sudden this limitation that was there, boom, gets cracked. It's almost like this glass ceiling, right, of possibility that you walk in, you know, and then when we enter this fast, boom, that glass breaks. Because we realize, oh my goodness, Romans 8 is true. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Right, Philippians, you know, and we've been walking that realm. There's just something supernatural that happens. Think about this. Some of you guys, right, that are doing the fast right now, maybe for the first time, think about it. A year ago, if someone were to ask you, hey, you want to do a fast for 21 days? What would your expression be? You crazy, man. Get out of my face, you know. You crazy religious nut, you know, or something like that. But think about this. Some of you guys that fasted last year, remember before you did that, remember when I was teaching and preaching on this thing? I know in the back of your mind, you say, Pastor Sam's crazy, man. Right? That guy's nuts. I can't do this thing. I love food too much. But you did it. And what's happened? All of a sudden, the bar, right? The ceiling is gone. And now you walk in the realm of impossibility. Right? With God, all things are possible now. You know, before, it was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I don't understand this. You know, and now, next time, you see, wow, I can do this thing. And so when God asks you something else, you can say, oh, yeah, I do it. You know, there's I shared this with the prayer team. There's an interesting verse. Turn to Luke. I'm sorry, I shared this with our EG this last week. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. This is when Jesus' birth is foretold, and we get to this scene. And then in verse 37, this is when the angel turns and says to Mary, he says, for nothing will be impossible with God. For nothing will be impossible with God. Now, let me take you a little deeper, okay, in this. And the literal translation of this is when it says nothing, right, the word that they're using is rhema, which is the word for word, right? And W-O-R-D, the spoken word. And what the angel is saying here, this is the literal translation taken straight from the Greek, right? No spoken word of God will be without ability, right? No spoken word of God will be without ability. What does this mean? This is what it means. When God speaks it, along with the speech is the power to perform it, right? That's literally what it means. When it says, where nothing is impossible with God, it means no spoken word of God shall be without ability. That means every time God speaks that word, along with the word is the ability to do the word. And so when God says to you, Stanley, I want you to fast for 40 days, right? When the word comes forth, not only is it the word there, right, just the spoken word, but power is manifested in that word. And so when God says, I want you to do this, the ability to do it has already been given to you. See, God will never say anything to you. He'll never speak anything, right, unless he wants to do it. That's just how he operates, right? He's not a guesser, right? He's not, you know, kind of lukewarm and yes, you know, or like kind of, you know, maybe this and that. When he says it, he's going to do it, right? And when he says it is the time to do it. And so when he says that you can do this thing, I want you to fast, attached to the word is the ability to carry out that word, right? Amen? That's good news, man. Right? So that means, right, if God were to come to you and say, you know, oh, I want you to be a Sunday school teacher, you know, and then you say, oh, but I've never taught before, you know, I don't know the Bible enough, I don't know this and that, right? But when God says, I want you to be a Sunday school teacher, attached to the word is the ability to be the best darn Sunday school teacher that you can be. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, right? I mean, that's what he means. And so when he calls you to things, right, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to freak out, right? Because the ability to do it is attached to the word. That's what the angel is telling, right? And so he's basically saying, the angel is just not saying, oh, yeah, Jesus is going to be born, you know, virgin, da, da, da. When he says it, the power is attached to the speech, right? And so we can grow in this. And see, that limitation in our mind gets broken off in some way. Right, it just comes off because, see, the word comes, the ability in that word is there as well. And all of a sudden, that ceiling, boom, disappears. Right, and you no longer walk in the spirit of limitation. You walk in the spirit of impossibility, where everything that seemed to be impossible is now possible. It's amazing. Right, and I can only say this, right, because that's manifest in my own life. You know, when God asks, I just obey. You know, I'm just kind of simple like that. But I just obey because I know when he says it, attached to the saying, right, is the power to accomplish it. You know, and I'm fast enough to recognize that that this thing just comes off of me. It's just amazing. You know, you could call it faith. You can call it all kinds of different things. But just something happens and it just comes off. It's just something happens like that. You know, and you recognize, man, God. You know, not necessarily that you're powerful, but you recognize, man, Lord, I'm powerful when I'm in you, when I'm trusting in you. I become a totally different person. You know, I mean, it's one of the most amazing things that happens. You know, and I tell you, you know, this is a season of really depending on God. You know, have you ever prayed, God, I just want to depend on you. God, I just want to have faith. Well, guess what, man? You're walking in it right now. Let me tell you, I was telling some other guys this week. Let me tell you what I do. You know, I walk around and sometimes I'm hungry. You know what I say? I say, Lord, man, I'm hungry. I'm hungry, God. But God, I'm more hungry for you. God, I'm more hungry for you. I walk around and say, God, I'm really tired, man. I'm faint. I'm dizzy. But God, I just want you. I just want you. You know, God, I'm weak, and, you know, but God, I recognize this, but God, I'm strong in you. God, I'm strong in you. I start quoting verses, and to be honest, right, I look for times when I feel hungry, because then I can just go to God and say, God, I just depend on you, right? If I'm strong, I don't need to depend on God, but when I'm weak, isn't that what Paul said, right? When I'm weak, then I am strong, right? And so, you know, when I'm in that place, I can say, oh, God, I just need you right now. God, would you come to me, right? I'm going to fall apart right now. Would you come? And God comes, because he's faithful, even when we're faithless. He becomes faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's our God. You know, and so, you know, and if you're feeling faint, if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling hungry as you go along, if you're feeling tempted, you go to the Lord and says, Lord, yeah, man, I'm tempted right now. I want to eat that burger. You know, in fact, I'm fixing to go attack that Krispy Kreme as soon as the service is over, you know. But God, I'm more hungry for you. I'm more hungry for you, God. And just feel that strength just begin to rise up within you. Just feel the power of God, the manifest presence of God just begin to fill you up, and you start getting strong, and then you go on. And maybe the next hour, it hits you again. You say, God, I'm so hungry, but Lord, I'm more hungry for you. God, I'm more hungry for you. I just want you. You know, we talked a lot about the benefits of fasting in these things. Let me give you the best benefit of all, right? Because he is worthy of it. Right, because he is just plain worthy of it. Right, my Lord Jesus is worthy of my little sacrifice. Right, it's not like I'm gonna not eat forever. You know what I mean? You know, next month, you know, I'll be hitting the buffet table. Right, no worries. Right, I mean, you'll see me in all the restaurants and, you know, having the time of my life. It's not like it's forever, but I say for this season, God, man, I just want you more than anything else. I just want you more than anything else. Amen? Amen. That was my introduction. Now let's get to the message. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Don't worry, it's not going to go much longer than this. You're supposed to say, Pastor Sam, keep going longer. But it's all right. All right. Again, by now, you're probably settling into stage three, right? Like I said, it doesn't matter what you're fasting, right? It doesn't mean you're more spiritual if you're just doing liquid or just doing water. Come on, let's not play those games, man, right? But what you're fasting is something that's precious to you, right? I know some of you guys are giving up the internet or television or, you know, did I hear someone giving up Korean soap operas or something? Or, you know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't matter what you're giving up. It's something that's precious to you, and you're laying that down. God is pleased, right? God is pleased. And so whatever you're doing, right, you do it unto the Lord, and it's precious to you. Now, the title of my message today is called 21 Days. And in Daniel chapter 10, right, let's read here for a little bit. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict, and he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with the belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me. I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. This is verse 18. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall not return to fight against the prince of Persia, for I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is one who stands firmly against me, against these forces, except Michael, your prince. Amen. Ooh, great verse, man. Great chapter. I mean, this is like God basically decided to open up the veil, right, of this world that is there that we cannot see, right? Remember in Corinthians, Paul talks about the third heaven, right? He says that he had seen a vision and he went to the third heaven. And the third heaven he called paradise. And so when we think about heaven, right, we're talking about the third heaven, which is paradise, right? So because in the beginning it says God created the heavens and the earth. And so there's a third heaven, paradise. What we think is heaven. There's a second heaven, and this is the realm by which there's demonic forces, angelic forces, right? These are things that we can't see with our eyes, but God may sometimes bring the unveiling to us, you know, in some way that we begin to see these things. And then there's the natural heaven that we look in the sky and we see that whole realm, right? And so God just basically took the curtain and opened up the second heaven to us. And so Daniel receives this vision. He knows this vision is creating anguish in his life, right? That there's something that's going to happen to his people. God showed him this thing. And so he says that since that day, to get more understanding, he entered into a season of fasting. And he prayed to God for an answer. And all of a sudden, this is the angel here that comes. As Gabriel comes on the scene. He's a messenger angel, archangel. Gabriel comes on the scene, you know, and he tells him, you know, that God has heard your prayers. In fact, this whole 21 days, but there was an enemy, the prince of Persia, right, which is, you know what country it is right now? Right? Yeah, Iraq, right? You know, the prince of Persia, the what we would call the territorial spirit, you know, that operates in Persia was preventing me from coming to share, you know, the answer to your prayer. You know, and so, you know, what was the breakthrough in this second heaven that, you know, or what happened in the first heaven that affected the breakthrough in the second heaven? It was fasting and prayer. Right? Daniel enters in, you know, he prays and fasts, and all of a sudden, in the spirit, this window occurs, right? God shows, you know, shows us through the scriptures what's happening, and it's the prayer and fasting that allowed the breakthrough to happen for the word of God to come forth, right, and minister into the midst of the situation. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's just astounding. You know, and so, you know, you say, well, Pastor Sam, what actually happens when we're fasting? I mean, well, you know, what really is going on? You know, I know I'm not eating and I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord and I feel, you know, I feel close in these things, but in this other realm, what is actually happening? And I'm telling you what's going to happen. What's happening is as you're fasting and praying, in some supernatural way, you're arming powers. You're arming angelic beings in this cosmic battle, you know, that's happening around here. You know, and as you continue on, there's going to be a moment where that breakthrough comes. You know, in Daniel's case, it was 21 days. You know, maybe for some of you, God's asking you to go a little bit longer because that's how many days it's going to take for the breakthrough to come. Maybe. You know, maybe God's asking you to enter. Maybe some of you, God's really spoken to you about really doing this year, because that's how many days it's going to take for the breakthrough to come into your life, right? I mean, doesn't it make sense? I mean, it's not my opinion. I just got it right out of the Bible, right? The Bible is true, you know. And so this is Daniel's fast. I mean, I'll describe it to you. 21 days, right? This is what we're doing as a church. No pleasant food. The word there, the Hebrew word is kamad, right? Kamad means to desire, to covet, to long for. It means precious. It means costly. This is kamad, right? You know, and so he says that I'm not going to eat any pleasant, I'm not going to eat any kamad food. You know, anything that I desire, that I covet, that I long for, that's precious or costly to me. He says, Daniel says, I'm going to lay all those things aside, right? Everything. All those things that are precious, all those things that I covet, all those things that I desire, right? That's why I said when you fast, it needs to be something, right, that you desire, something that's meaningful to you, something that's precious to you. You know, if it's just, you know, like I said, if you never eat liver, you know, and say, oh, God, oh, I'm just going to fast liver. Oh, come on, give me a break, right? You know, and so, it doesn't count, okay, quite simply, because it's not kamad. It's just not. And then he says that he's not going to have any meat, right? And so apparently meat was not part of the kamad. And for most of us, that's all kamad, right? It's just all about the meat, right? But that was a whole other category, you know? And so no meat, no wine, you know, not even any ointment. And the word ointment is the word kuk, right? And it's basically the oil used after a bath. And it was a fragrance, right? And so basically he's talking about cologne. Right, or a perfumer, right? He says, I'm going to use any ointment. So don't think, like, we use the word ointment these days medically. It's not medical. It's purely cosmetic, right? It's perfume or cologne or, you know, eau de toilette or whatever that thing is, right? That's what it means, right? And so this is the situation that's there for Daniel and things. And so this is his fast. Right, and now this is how Daniel benefited from this fast. Right, four simple points. We'll just go through these. Number one, fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Look at verse 7. Right, he says, "I Daniel alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Only Daniel saw, right? Only Daniel received the incredible privilege of encountering this incredible vision, supernatural experience. What was he doing what the other guys were doing? Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, right? It opens up our spiritual eyes, right? It happened in the presence of all, but only Daniel's spiritual eyes were opened to see this thing. Isn't that amazing, right? You know, I've always found it amazing where I can be in the room with two people, same, you know, and then we'll be in the room and one person will experience and see things and I'll just be there, huh? You know, what? What's going on? You know, totally oblivious to these things. You know, but prayer and fasting opens up our spiritual eyes. Right? I mean, we could be all in this room, you know, and just be, could be just a handful of us that actually get to see and experience and see the vision or something so incredible. You know, and in this situation, the impetus or the fuel behind that was prayer and fasting. You know, if you look carefully at this text, notice that Daniel was there. He got to experience this great thing. You know what happened to his companions? Scared out of their pants, and they ran and hid. Isn't that amazing? It says they were filled with dread, scared, lifeless. You know, I mean, this, you know, what an incredible comparison, right, between the two. But prayer, fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Number two, fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence. Fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence, right? Verse 9 and 10. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. What is that? That is the manifest presence of God, right? That's when a supernatural God comes face to face with a natural man, and boom, those things collide. And what happens? The man falls, shakes, trembles. You know, it's like he just walked into the realm of the supernatural. You know, and he came face to face with the presence of God. Isn't that amazing? Fasting and prayer can usher us in into the presence of God. It sets us in God's presence, just like it set Daniel in God's presence. Number three, fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement, right? Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. Some of you guys need to be encouraged these days. Prayer and fasting will bring God's encouragement to you, right? Look at verse 11. And the angel said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you, on and on and on, right? And he begins to encourage Daniel. Daniel, you're a man of high esteem. Right? In other words, God was there and says, Daniel, I am so impressed with you. You're an incredible guy. Right? You have great character. I'm going to use you. Right? Prayer and fasting opens the door for encouragement. It opens the door for encouragement. It brings God's encouragement to us. You know, and the last one, number four, fasting and prayer brings God's answers. Fasting and prayer brings God's answers. You know, in verse 12 and 13, we don't have to read that, but, you know, it talks about the nature of the warfare, you know, and recognize, right, when he says, God heard from the beginning, right, and our prayers are pleasing to the Lord. Heard from the beginning, but it was a prayer and fasting that aided in the warfare to bring about the answer of the Lord. Isn't that amazing, right? There's something about that, prayer and fasting. You know, that brought about, you know, God's answers to Daniel, you know, in this incredible time that he was under. Amen. Fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. Fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence. Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. And fasting and prayer brings God's answers. Now, before we close, let me challenge you once again, okay? You know, I know that it's inconvenient, right? I know that you got business things, and you're busy, and all these kind of things that are going on. I challenge you. Trouble yourself. I know some of you guys are not in the most perfect health. Trouble yourself, right? I mean, why couldn't God touch your health, right? I mean, you know, if you're going to really set yourself to give to the Lord, say, why couldn't God minister to you in that? Let's bypass the excuses that we may have and say, God, I just want to enter into this season with you. Right? I mean, just simply put, you know, and come together as a body of Christ to see his purposes fulfilled in the life of our church and the life of our community, life of our families, and our own life. Amen? Let's close our eyes.